broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And I know, Bud, you had a complaint about the way I open up the show. Don't tell me yet. Don't tell me yet. Okay, let's wait till we have adequate time, which is generally in our News and Information Hour, which will be coming up. By the way, in our News and Information Hour, we'll have Frodo the Puppet rejoining us, and Frodo will have questions having to do with life. If you're not familiar with the Frodo the Puppet segment of our program, it's an innocent segment. It's a segment by way of questions that would be asked by an innocent person, a child, a puppet, if animals could speak. You know, it's a way of sort of deflating the pomposity and the ego of talk radio for just a few minutes. And that, again, coming up in our News and Information Hour. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police later on fireworks safety, along with R.C. Collins. The news that we're going to start off with here this evening, and we have on the line Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier, is the news that Anderson Cooper has come out officially. And when I say officially, I don't think that this is something people... I don't know. It didn't come as a surprise to me, let me put it that way, that he's gay. Cooper said, quote, and we're quoting the CNN story. Is this CNN? No, this is the New York Daily News. Yes, he's gay. CNN anchorman Anderson Cooper, for years protective of his private life, came out on Monday. The fact is, I'm gay. I always have been, always will be, and I couldn't be any more happy, comfortable with myself, and proud, he wrote to fellow gay journalist Andrew Sullivan, who published the letter with Cooper's permission in his column on the Daily Beast website. I'll just read a few more lines. We'll get Doug Danger on the line, who Doug is, as he says, is a gay man and gay journalist and has been out for quite a while. Cooper declared he didn't want to have his silence about his sexuality, talk of it has swirled for years on blogs and media circles, to be misconstrued as shame. By remaining silent on certain aspects of my personal life for so long, I've given some the mistaken impression that I'm trying to hide something that makes me uncomfortable, ashamed, or even afraid. This is distressing because it's not true, said Mr. Cooper, who is 45 years of age. And on the line, as I mentioned, is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. So, Doug, you're very, very vocally out and gay. And what do you think of Anderson Cooper, especially since there was so much talk and speculation, you know, that he was gay? That's not exactly a big surprise.
Well, you know, Phil, the thing that I think is interesting is that, you know, a lot of people, it's kind of like Lance Bass when the young man who is in the group NSYNC came out, and Lance Bass said, on the cover of People magazine, you know, was I'm gay.
That was kind of seen as a joke, wasn't it?
Well, it was not so much a joke. You know, it was a sort of a joke, I think. I don't think it was a joke to him.
No, I don't mean that. But when people saw that,
yeah, when they saw that on the cover of People magazine, it was the collective response, I think, was among the gay community. The response was, better late than never. I guess among straight people, it was like, duh, or something like that. But you know, look, the fact of the matter is, anytime anybody comes out, it's a good thing. I think in the case of Anderson Cooper, it can be a very, very good thing. I'm out. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist, and I have been and I've been on your program making this statement for a long time. So let's get something clear before we move on to any other topic here having to do with Anderson Cooper. As far as being a gay journalist goes, that's territory that has been fairly well staked out by me for a long, long time. I think that Anderson Cooper's going to have to do an awful lot of swimming and an awful lot of mountain climbing and a whole lot of bike riding and everything else to try to reach the pinnacle of being a gay journalist, a gay man, a gay journalist that I am. Plus the fact that in my career, I have staked out a very unique area. You know, I've told people what it is to be a gay journalist. It means...
Well, you've said that being a gay journalist, it makes you a superior journalist.
Well, I think it does, only from this. It doesn't mean that I'm biologically superior to anybody, but what it does do is I think it tells people that I've been through enough BS in my life, so I know how to read BS, and I've been through enough hypocrisy in my life, so I know how to read hypocrisy, and I don't think there's two better skills that a journalist could have. But as far as being a gay man and a gay journalist, I had that territory staked out long before Anderson Cooper.
Well, let me say this, Doug, just not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I had a lot of email and I had a lot of communication on Twitter and elsewhere today from a lot of people saying just that. I mean, they were backing you up and saying, well, we've talked with Doug Danger, or we've heard Doug Danger on your show, and what are his views on a man who works in the field of news gathering, who is a journalist, who comes out openly being gay? And people were sort of acknowledging that that's something that you yourself have... that you yourself have a very specific view on. And we have Doug back on the line. I think we lost you for a minute there, Doug.
I'm right here, Phil.
Okay, so do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think that, I think people understand that I've been on your program for a long time talking about being a gay man and a gay journalist, I do have that territory staked out. So Anderson Cooper, being a gay man and a gay journalist, I think is great. I think he's, good for him. And I think it's a good thing because I think it's going to make people believe. And here's the bottom line on this. I think the more of the prominent gay people in our society that we have who are saying, look, this is what I am, I'm gay, and I'm also Anderson Cooper, or I'm Doug Danger, or whoever, and I'm out, and I'm not a monster, I'm not killing anybody, I'm not molesting anybody's kids, I think that's good. And it also allows straight people to see gay people in ordinary, everyday work. Anderson Cooper comes on our TV set all the time. And it also allows them to think, well, it's possible that being gay is not that far away from being straight, other than one's sexual orientation and private life, intimate life.
Right.
And that a lot of straights are going to see it as so little of a threat that we may finally have some straight people, even if it's for 48 hours, even if it's for 72 hours. If it's just a very short period of time, we're going to have straight people saying, well, look, Anderson Cooper's not a monster. Doug Danger's not a monster. A lot of these people we see that are gay are not monsters. Ellen DeGeneres. Why don't I see what this is all about? And you're going to have more and more straight people taking a walk on that gay turf, even if it's 48 hours.
Yeah, but you're talking about straight people trying gay sex?
Just in the short term, so because they know that what they're seeing now with people like Anderson Cooper, with normal, healthy people, is not a terrible thing.
Yeah, but sexual orientation, you're born with it. So in other words, choosing gay sex is what?
What it does is it familiarizes that straight person with what being gay is about, and they may, and it's very, very remote, but they may discover that it is something that they want to stick with.
Well, you're not going to get straight people. Straight people you're talking about.
I'm talking about straight people, yeah.
Now, you're not talking about people that are gay but have been hiding it.
No. People that are gay and been hiding it, the message is very clear. Come on out of the closet. The message is very clear. I came out 12 weeks ago, and I've been up some roads that Anderson Cooper hasn't even experienced yet. Okay? No, I'm talking about straight people giving gay sex a chance. If you want to put it that way, give gay sex a chance. Ben Hooperman, who's a friend of mine here at the Courier, said, is that a John Lennon song? I said, no, I think that's anybody's song.
Well, you're not saying that straight people should try gay sex. Are you saying that?
I'm saying if you are comfortable enough, if you're looking, if you had a fear of gay people, and now you see Anderson Cooper, you might say, well, then why don't I give that a try?
And what? But my, that's my question. What straight person is going to say that?
Any straight person that's open-minded enough.
And so, in other words, a guy like Phil Hendry.
If you're open-minded enough, if you're not.
Well, I guess I'm not, because I would never do that.
Well, that's something you got to deal with. But
what are the benefits of me trying gay sex?
The benefits of you trying gay sex is simply that you come to a deeper understanding of gay people. There's no better understanding of anybody than to walk a mile in their shoes.
And so, of all the people that I've heard talking today about Anderson Cooper coming out, I have not heard anybody say that this is going to prompt straight people to try gay sex, and that's a good thing.
Phil, again, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not, you know, I've been down this road a long time. I didn't just pop out of the closet like Anderson Cooper. All right? I know what I'm, you know, I've seen this and I've written about it.
All right, let's take a break, okay, and get some phone calls or at least put the number out there. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger on the line with us here as we talk about Anderson Cooper coming out of the closet, so to speak, even though a lot of people suspected that he was gay. And you're saying, Doug, that his coming out makes gay sex not that much of a threat, even to the point where straight people would be willing to try it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you try it and you stay with it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, but at least now straight people know it's something you can try and it's not going to turn you into a monster. Because I suspect there's a lot of straights that want to try it.
All right, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, coming up on Wednesday the 4th on our website, philhenryshow.com, will be the best of Ted Bell. We're rolling out downloads in our shop there. So if you want to buy a collection of great Ted Bell cuts, either in total or by cut, you can do it there in our shop at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. On the line with me is Doug Danger, from the Orange County Courier, and we're talking about Anderson Cooper coming out. And there have been some questions, Doug, about does this work the other way? In other words, what about you being straight or you being gay trying straight sex?
Well, why would we do that when you have so many people who are straight and who sell it, and we already know what the pitch is? You see what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying, but I have a feeling a lot of people wouldn't understand.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Here's what I'm saying. Now that Anderson Cooper is out and more people are coming out, you got a lot of guys that are deep in the closet. Most of them are, you know, kind of homophobic. You can mostly tell who's in the closet by the guys that don't like gay people. I hate to say that. I say that with the greatest of, you know, respect.
So homophobic meaning violently homophobic?
Any kind, you know. You remember the movie Milk, you're talking about Dan White, but the fact is any kind of guy that's deep in the closet, meaning a homophobe, is somebody that, what with Anderson Cooper coming out, and I'm just saying you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. And give it a shot.
Those guys then are not straight.
No, those guys are not straight.
Okay, because you were talking about gay people coming out, that's just a matter of course.
Well, that is true. Gay people, we want them to come out. The real homophobes, the ones that are way deep in the closet, are like a lot of straight people. They think they're, you know, something that they're not. And all I'm trying to say, you know, it's nothing too complicated, Phil. I'm just saying, look, there's Anderson Cooper, a guy that people respect and admire, a guy that people like to watch, about as normal a gay guy as you're going to get. I mean, at least he's a gay guy that a lot of straight people are comfortable with. And I'm saying, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, now you know what a gay guy looks like that you can relate to, because I think a lot of straights relate to gay, I was going to call him Gay Cooper, which is what he's being called a lot in the gay community today as a result of this announcement.
And he's being called what?
He's being called Gay Cooper. Just but people are calling him because of the announcement. But
Gay Cooper.
Yeah. But I would say that as a result of this, as straight people become more familiar and less frightened of the gay, of the gay, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, then what you can do then is give it a shot, give it a whirl, 48 hours to 72 hours of a solid, straight, and I say straight, I don't mean by straight sex, I mean in terms of a solid and uncompromising a journey into the world of gay sex. And if you're a homophobe, this really gives you an opportunity.
All right, now, what guy who is a raging homophobe, as you've just sort of described, is going to be any more encouraged not only to try gay sex, forget that, I just don't think it's going to happen, but to even be more open to the idea of gay people, if you're telling him, you know what, man, you're already in the closet, and...
And I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know. You know?
No, but you say you're already in the closet. Look, here's Anderson Cooper, or Gay Cooper, or whatever you want to call him. Here's a guy, and look, he is out, and you're comfortable with him. Come on, give it a shot.
I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know already.
And that statement right there, what is going to make a guy that is in the closet, a homophobe in the closet, what's going to make him any more comfortable when you say, look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're gay. Give it a shot.
Well, look, I mean, what do you want to do? You want that guy to go the other way and just go deeper and deeper and deeper into the closet till he just becomes... you know, there is such a thing as being so homophobic that you go so deep into the closet that you become what we call in the gay world, and I know some psychologists call it, you're called a hat box. You know what a hat box is?
A hat box? Yeah, I know what a hat box is.
No, but in the sense of someone that's in the closet.
So someone who's so deep in the closet, they're a hat box.
Yeah, well, in other words, you're so deep in the closet that you're not only in the closet, you're in a hat box in the closet. So you're a hat box. You're a hat. You know, and you're a hat that goes on a very definitely gay head, whether you like it or not. You're the hat, and you're also the gay head that goes on, that the gay hat goes on. See, I'm not saying it too good.
No, I would say that you're not saying it. So you're so in other words, you're so homophobic, you're a hat box.
You're a hat box. You're also the hat.
And you're the gay head that the gay hat goes on.
Right.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here with Doug Danger talking about Anderson Cooper, who came out today admitting that he is a gay man and a gay journalist. We have a gay man and a gay journalist on the air here with us, Doug Danger.
And I want to emphasize, too, Phil, I don't mean to do this. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I want people to know I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out and out and proud and loud, and I'm out, man. Long before this guy. So, you know, I know that Anderson Cooper has a far more public persona, but I'm just saying this guy's got more of a public persona, but the fact of the matter remains I've been out, and I've been way out in front of being out for a long, long time, and I think that that needs to be said. You know, when we talk about gay people, Phil, who's out and who isn't, I've been so out, I'm way out in front of being out, and I'm proud of that, and always have been.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. You know, I'm driving. I listen to this gentleman on your program, and I'm, I got to tell you, I scratch my head sometimes with the liberalization of our society.
In what sense are you talking about?
Well, you sir, made the comment that, you know, if I'm... hear about Anderson Cooper being gay, and I've decided that I want to try it out. Is that what you said?
I said that if you have been afraid of being gay.
Well, I don't have a fear of being gay, but how am I supposed to give it a tryout? What?
Well, I'm just saying, sir, that if Anderson Cooper's coming out has made you more relaxed around gays, are you more relaxed now?
Well, I would say that I'm, you know, I'm a little bit more open-minded, I guess, because I've enjoyed his reporting. Yeah, but I'm not about to have sex with another man.
What are you? But you're straight.
Yes, I am straight.
Have you ever? And excuse me for, asking you this. Have you ever been involved in a threesome with a lady?
Boy, that's a little personal.
Well, I guess. Yes, I have.
With another guy.
What do you mean, with another guy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, with a guy, yeah.
All right, so you've already kind of walked on the wild side by having a three-way, two dudes and a woman, right?
Yes, sir, but I didn't, there was no sex that I had.
What are you saying that that kind of three-way sex or menage a trois, whatever you want to call it, is somehow latently gay?
No, I'm saying that if it's a two-guy and one-woman affair, then you've already sort of crossed the line. Because just being nude with another guy in a bed,
you're telling me that that makes me gay?
I'm saying that you crossed the line. You were nude in a bed with another guy.
Well, I would have to disagree very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. That's a very interesting point of view, although I'm not exactly sure I understand. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger is with us.
Look at Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I've had this discussion with a lot of straight guys. You go, you're nude with another guy, you're looking at another guy's bare ass in a bed, and your ass is...
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I mean, come on.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's a Monday night. We got the 4th of July coming up on Wednesday. Little bit of a short week for some of us. I don't know exactly which day you want to take off when you have the 4th in the middle of the week. We will not be here on the 4th, but we are rolling out the best of Ted Bell at philhenryshow.com. With me right now, though, is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and we're having this discussion about Anderson Cooper, the fact that he came out today, said that he was gay. And you alluded to it, Doug. It's not a big shock.
Well, you know, it's not a big shock. For Anderson Cooper, it's a big announcement because Anderson Cooper, I'm going to be very honest with you right now if I could, all right?
Go ahead.
You know, I support Anderson Cooper as a fellow human being, the fact that he's gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, I've been saying that for a long time. And I'm grateful for you, to you, Phil, for having me on your program, but I want you to, you know that, right? You, in other words...
Yes, you've been saying that.
I'm not just saying it, I am that. I'm a gay man, I'm not just saying it, I'm it. I'm gay, and a gay man and a gay journalist. Now comes Anderson Cooper, and I'm sure his female audience, he's got a big female audience, and his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, who, you know, in a lot of ways, Anderson Cooper being gay, that's a great thing, and I appreciate that. But on the other hand, he having her for a mother, I can't spit it out. I don't think I'm doing too good.
No, you're doing good. You're doing good.
I haven't really been able to make my point. I haven't.
What is the point you want to make?
Anderson Cooper can do a lot of good with this announcement. He can get straights to take a look at gay sex for the first time and say, all right, maybe I'll try it. I don't know.
I doubt that that's going to happen.
All right. But number two, there's some damage because look at his mother. And people are going to say, look at what he had for a mother. No wonder he's gay.
And so that's a slam on Gloria Vanderbilt.
A slam on Gloria? How's that a slam? I'm not slamming her.
Well, that's what you're saying. Look at what he's got for a mother.
No. I'm saying their misperception. Their misperception. That's all I'm saying.
All right. All right, so there's a misperception. His mother's kind of she was a model. She was many times divorced. She travels in that high society. But how does that make a guy gay?
Well, if all you have is a mother who's walking around in expensive gowns, perfume, jewelry, and all kinds of, and the people that attend to that, generally the guys that do hair, the guys that do jewelry, and the fashion guys, they're all gay. So she's walking in that. All he sees all day long are these guys. If you want to come right down to it, and again, I don't want to. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I mean, all he sees all day long as a young man is all these guys mincing in and out of the apartment. And
all right, okay. So we got a stereotype there.
So that was bad, but I think the good news is that. You don't see it happening, huh?
No, I don't see it happening. I don't see straight people wanting to give gay sex a try now that a guy that they believe is their hero is out of the closet. Let's go to another phone call here, 877-876. Phil, I'm going to talk to Jimmy right now on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hi, Phil. This is a conversation you're having with a man here who I don't know whether or not he really believe some of the things he's saying, because I'm not, as an open-minded person and as a straight individual, I'm not prone to being interested in gay sex. And you're a straight man, sir, right? Yes, I'm a straight man, but I'm not you know, I'm not interested, other than Anderson Cooper being a human being on the in the world, and I'm happy for him. He says he's happy. What are you happy for, Thursday? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know, and yes, you said you're a gay man and a gay journalist. You also said Anderson Cooper is a gay man and a gay journalist, and we recognize that. But I don't know what all of that means, you know.
Yeah, I think the case, if I could jump in here.
Oh, hold on for a minute, Bill. Sir, if I could just talk to this man.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, what I'm trying to say is you're straight. You should be interested in having gay sex as the result of Anderson Cooper because you admire him. As the result of Anderson Cooper what? As the result of Anderson Cooper saying he's gay. Well, I'm not. I can tell you that I'm not interested in having gay sex. I'm not interested in that lifestyle or orientation. I'm simply saying I'm happy for him. Now, if that makes me dysfunctional, I can live with that. But I don't, for a moment, are you being honest with yourself? Oh, for God's sake. Yes, I am.
And Doug, I think you're pumping a dry well there, man, you know?
Well,
I really do.
That's the truest thing I've heard said in the hour, is that you're making a point that's just not based in fact. It is my hope, and I think it's the hope of a lot of gay people, that Anderson Cooper coming out, not a hope, I shouldn't say the hope of a lot of gay people, but Anderson Cooper coming out is going to make gay sex less threatening, and therefore you'll have straights giving it a whirl. You know, no straight people are going to give that a whirl.
What I think what you should hope for is that more gay people come out, and there's an increasing understanding between all kinds of people, straight and gay, so that we don't have... We just don't have the tension and the mistrust and the bigotry and all that other stuff that we've had.
Well, you know, Phil, I think that's very pretty. I agree, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
That's very pretty, but that's not going to, you know, that doesn't pay the bills. There has to be a commitment on some level. And
oh, the commitment on some level from what, straight?
Yeah, and I believe, personally, you have to commit to having gay sex with someone, because I'll tell you something right now. Are you kidding? Is this a joke? No, it's not a joke. What? How? What good is that going to do?
That, because Doug just said, don't say the S word.
I'm sorry. Talk's cheap and BS walks, okay? I mean, BS walks, but money, what does money do? Well, money doesn't walk. BS walks. Yeah, I know, but what does money do? It just stands there, I guess.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say talk is cheap and BS walks, but what's the money doing? The money's standing there.
Yeah, the money just stays there.
Well, that sounds lame.
Look, what is your point?
My point is this. Gay people for years have had all kinds of people saying to them, oh, I support you, I support you, I support you. Really? Well, then why don't I get my pants off? Is that what you're saying? I didn't say it, you said it, sir. Well, but that's what you're saying. I didn't say it, you said it, sir.
I'm gonna back this man up. That's exactly what you're saying. So for the longest time, the gay community has heard a lot of phony baloney words of support from straight people. The time has come to back it up. Get your pants off.
I didn't say get your pants off. Well, you're saying that there should be a level of a commitment sexually, and you said that you said something about BS walks. Money talks, that's it.
That's right, money talks.
I knew it did something more than stand there.
Okay, whatever, man. BS walked. Thank you very much, Jimmy, right?
Yeah, Phil, this queer... Oh, you hear that? The guy called me a queer. Oh!
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. I heard that, man. I heard it. Tell you that right now. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about, that kind of homophobia.
All right, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Larry. Larry, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, and we've got a couple of minutes here. We're with Doug Danger as we continue talking about Anderson Cooper today and his announcement that he's gay. Larry, go ahead.
Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Good.
Doug, you and I have tangled a few times here on the program over a couple of issues. This is Larry Grover.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You recognize my voice?
No, sir, I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't recognize me. I'm a member of Conservatives of Kern County.
Yes, sir.
And that doesn't ring a bell, huh?
No, sir, it does not.
Well, you know who I am, Phil, right?
Yes, I do, Larry. I do.
And you know that I've been on the program with Doug Danger, correct?
I can't remember.
Well, all right. Either you two guys are pulling my leg, but...
No, I don't remember, but go ahead with your point.
All right, my point is this. As a conservative and as a member of Conservatives of Kern County, I think that you probably would think that I am anti-homosexual, I'm homophobic. I am not any of those things.
What did you say, homophobic?
I'm sorry. It's homophobic, I guess.
Yes, sir. That's the correct pronunciation, not homophobic.
All right. Well, all right. I have been for the longest time concerned with, as you know, inroads being made by the gay community and the homosexual community. But here is the point. I don't have any problem with any gay anywhere in the world, so long as he keeps his business to himself and doesn't trot it out and parade it around in front of me or primarily me. What about your wife? What about your kids? My children are all girls, so I don't think the influence of a gay man. What about lesbians? That is something that their mother, I think, can contend with because their mother has primary custody. I have visitation, very limited visitation, and I can assure you that when I'm with my daughters, the last thing I'm going to do is say to them something like, let's go see lesbians. You could ask them, sir, do you want to go to the softball tournament? Ha, 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 something like that.
Okay, I mean, so in other words, Larry, you are still sort of bigoted.
No, I didn't say that I'm bigoted at all.
Well, that's what you're saying. Well, when my daughters are with me, the last thing I'm going to do is take them to go look at lesbians.
No, I said I'm not going to take them to the obvious places. Yeah, like a softball tournament. Well, I don't know what they may be.
Okay, so your point is what?
The point is that I am very open-minded, and I think all gay people should have their rights as long as they keep it away from me. And what I mean by that is primarily me and gay men. So you don't want to see it. No, I don't. I want it away from me. I don't care about anyone else. I'm not trying to tell, but I. And
all right, so what does that mean?
Well, it means this. It means as long as they're not openly flaunting it in restaurants and in bars and in,
So basically the way it was in the 50s.
Yeah, but I don't think you should have constant police raids. Just keep it in those clubs and don't outlandish clothing and bumper stickers that say things like Palm Springs, I love you. Anything that's a giveaway. So you want to fight back in the closet, sir, and that's not going to happen. No, I didn't say the closet.
Yeah, you did. That's what you're talking about. Because you're saying, as long as it isn't outlandish, as long as it's, not in my face, and you don't, you want it not in the restaurants or the bars, that leaves just one place, gay bars.
Well, you talked pretty fast there. I don't know what you said. I heard him, and what Phil said is essentially the truth. You want to go back to 1950, four, five, something like that. All right.
Well, that ain't going to happen, Larry. All right? And the reason why you want to do that is so that it isn't around you. You feel threatened. And
I guess that makes me gay.
Pretty much. Let's take a break here. 877-876-7445. Anderson Cooper today announced, it wasn't a big shock, that he's gay. And we're talking to Doug Danger, another gay man and a gay journalist, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier as we continue talking here about Anderson Cooper coming out. And that last caller that we had, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, would you say that he was a homophobe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely a homophobe. Homophobes are anybody that is... a homophobe is someone who is obviously opposed to gay rights in any form. But there, you have to understand something. They're closeted gay people. And
in every single situation,
anybody that is extremely homophobic in the closet, somehow, they're a hatbox. And again, like I said, you had people like that last guy, Grover. He's a hatbox. He's the gay head, the gay hat, the gay box in a gay closet.
877-876-7445. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say is about, you know, this whole gay movement or the homosexual movement and everything like that. You know, I just want to first say that I have no issues at all with homosexuals. Whatever they want to do, it is their right as not only human beings, as citizens, to do whatever they want. You know, it is.
We like being called gay, sir. You know, we like being called gay. We like being called gay, sir. That's all. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not a homosexual man, a homosexual journalist.
Okay. That's all. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know the terminology, and I'm not, you know, I don't mean it in any way. But this is my issue that I have with it, though. Okay, is major organizations like a Home Depot or Food Lion or Comcast, these major organizations that outright knowingly give money to the gay and lesbian foundations to set up billboards and banners and all that. Now, how is that?
It ain't your money.
Okay,
it ain't your money. It ain't your money.
But it
you
is my
saying?
Money if I go and spend it there.
Well, then don't spend it there.
But then if
you
can go.
That's your free choice.
You can
that's your free will. You got free will, right? And you can do whatever
you
want to do. Just like gay people don't drink Coors Light or Coors Beer because Coors doesn't like gay people. So you don't have to shop Food Lion is all I'm saying. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm giving you advice as a you know, straight man, mm-hmm. what you can do for your rights. See? Those are your rights.
Yep. And
but
again,
I'm saying,
but in the day and age we live in, you know, we're all about convenience and everything. And I'm just that.
Well,
you're
going to have to give that up, man, for your beliefs. How much do you believe in what you believe in? You know, you're going to have to give up some of that convenience. But you know, let's get down to the nut cutting on here, man. Let's get down to the brass tacks. You're against organizations giving money to gays. How come? You say you got no problem with gays, and yet you got a problem with them getting money.
Okay.
See, I
now,
think
exactly.
You,
now, say you have an
I would say to Philly, you're a hatbox.
What do you mean he's a hatbox?
It sounds like one.
What's that?
A hatbox is
hat
someone
box?
So deep in a hatbox is somebody so deep in the closet. What's deep in the closet? A hatbox. Are you in the club? I'm going to ask you, man. Your name's Matt. Look, man, I don't mean any offense, okay? But I don't mean any offense, man. I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. So you know what I am.
No,
I'm going to ask you straight up.
No way.
I'm going to ask you straight up, man. Are you down? Are you in the hat box? That's all I'm asking.
No.
And you can say yes. I ain't going to laugh at you.
I have a wife. I am not.
Well, you know a lot of gay guys are married. You know there's a lot of gay guys that are married.
I know.
A lot of gay guys get married, sir.
Yeah, and I am in no way involved in that. I don't find any sort. I don't understand it. For one, I don't understand how a male and another male could do things like that. I just don't get it.
Well,
you know,
you don't like it. You may not be attracted to it, but that's one thing. But why do you have a problem with them getting money? So what?
Well, it's just like this. You know, just with my stand on abortion, they may in any way have the right to choose to keep that child. It is up to them.
Right.
Okay. So
hey, let me ask Matt. Right, Matt. Hold on. I got Marilyn on the line. She's a transgender. Marilyn, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. I wanted to ask Matt. Hello, Matt. I'm Marilyn.
Hi.
Now I am a man. Technically, but I'm pre-surgical. I'm about to have my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I have the right to have that surgery?
Phil, I don't think you're having a freak show.
Yep.
Excuse me.
If you want to take your money, okay,
and spend it
on anything that you want, whether it's buying gold.
This is money I received from I believe it was from Food Lion.
You got money from Food Lion?
Well, no, not them, but some.
You got the money.
It was raised for me. And so what I'm saying to Matt is, it's possible, Matt, that you gave me money for my.
Yeah, I'll be against that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm against that.
Well, that's because you're just an old queen. You know.
An old queen. Matt, I'm sorry, we ran out of time, dude, and I appreciate very much your call. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just got on the air, Phil. I
know you're just on the air, but we have to take a break.
Yeah, all right. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That last guy is a hat box. You, Marilyn, I don't know what you are.
Well, I'm out of the closet.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm dust.
You're closet dust.
Get out of here. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and it's a speedball of extra-dimensional humor here each and every night. And we're very happy to have you with us. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And today, a brand new free Phil Henry podcast is available to you at philhenryshow.com. Hit the podcast banner there on the left side of the page. It'll take you to our podcast. You can subscribe to it. It is free. And if you're not a backstage pass holder, you might want to check out our podcast. Gives you an idea as to some of the things we do on the show. The other thing is that we have live streaming audio of our show at that point as well. So check it out. Live streaming audio, I should say, of our archives. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to talk about safety, fireworks, so forth, the 4th of July coming up. We only have a couple of days to emphasize these things, and I think they're important, and I know that Jay Santos does, and I know you guys do too at home. Whether we like it or not, whether it was a good thing or not, you know, fireworks now are illegal in a lot of areas. Fireworks are indeed dangerous if they're mishandled, and it is unfortunate. I think probably when we say that fireworks are the classic example of all of us getting penalized because some of us act stupid. I'll get Jay Santos on the line with us here from the Citizens Auxiliary Police in the South Bay, which, Jay, before we talk about fireworks, you should explain to people what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is and exactly what your official capacity is, which in point of fact, there is none. You're a volunteer group, right?
Well, I think, Phil, the first thing I want to say is, first of all, thank you for having us on your program. Citizens Auxiliary Police is always extremely grateful for the time that you do give us. I would like to correct misnomers that might be in the minds of some people when it comes to an organization like ours. We are not rent-a-cops. We're not Neighborhood Watch. We're not any of these decidedly amateurish groups. We are a Citizens Auxiliary Police that was formed in 1996 by Major Elvis Newton.
Now, it's Major Elvis.
Major Elvis Newton, he is, in point of fact, is a neighbor of mine. For a long time, he and his wife owned a home here in the cul-de-sac. It's right down the street on Bonnie. And they have since moved up two doors. That home, unfortunately, and this is kind of an interesting story, it was destroyed in an explosion in 1999. You know, the fire marshal was out and said that it was, explosives that were stored improperly. We feel it was something else. We do feel it was probably
Do you think it was some kind of an attempt on his life?
We do think so, yes, sir. We do think so, yes, sir. So what I'm trying to say to you, Phil, is not get too dramatic. What we do is we just look over the shoulder of the police, make sure they're doing things right. You know, we're not trying to do their job for them, but we do believe in saving lives. And if we don't think they're doing what we think they ought to do, and we're not saying, you know, we know what police ought to do. We're just saying if they're not doing what we think they ought to do, we only think they ought to do it that way because we're citizens like everybody else. And whether or not we have a video camera on our back and we are trying to show homeowners how easy it is to be a peeping Tom, whether or not we are asking people what it is they're saying in a restaurant because certain kinds of talk can cause violent reactions with people, it is only to try and help people.
All right. Well, Jay, you know, we've talked to you before about a lot of the things that your group has been involved in.
When you say group, again, it's not a political organization.
All right, you're police agency, if you will, but again, you don't have any arrest powers, you know.
We have a citizen's arrest power, okay? That's all I need. I need a citizen's arrest power. And when you say we don't have arrest power, that's not true.
All right, you have the right to arrest, make a citizen's arrest as guaranteed in the Constitution. But let me ask you something here. The 4th of July is coming up. I believe you're going to be at Star Park there in the South Bay, and you are going to be there with fireworks. Now, I know that fireworks are illegal in that locale. In fact, all across America, in counties all over America.
Right.
Hold on. Let me just ask my question then.
All right.
In counties all over America, fireworks are illegal. In some areas, they're legal. In some, near me, up in Fillmore and some parts of Southern California, you can go and buy fireworks. But for the most part, they're illegal. And the only way to enjoy fireworks is to enjoy one that is an officially sanctioned or sponsored display. So where do you, in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, get the right to go down to this park and set off fireworks?
Let me back up here, because I think what you're doing is you're starting off, you got one leg in a hole. And I think you also got, you know, basically what you're doing is you got one leg in a hole, and you also are starting off, I got a leg in a hole. First of all, Phil.
You need to get a little closer to your phone because it's difficult to understand.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying you're starting off with a little bit of a leg in a hole.
Okay, what don't I understand?
What you don't understand is this. As a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, obviously I have a better awareness of safety. And I have a better awareness of how to handle fireworks and how to handle these Roman candles, sparklers. I'm trying to think of the other, Piccolo Pete.
Piccolo Pete's?
That's correct, yes, sir. Fountains and all this. These can be deadly in the hands of people who don't know what they're doing. And that's why they're illegal. But because I am a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and by the way, Phil, we are going to be recognizable. We're going to be wearing blue armbands, which will signify that we are Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we light these fireworks for our families, and people will be able to watch this and recognize, well, what's responsible use, what's irresponsible use.
Is this going to be a fireworks display that you're putting on?
Well, I think it can be. It can be for people, but
It's not?
What it is, it's going to be a Citizens Auxiliary Police family picnic. This is our fourth annual, and we're going to be enjoying fireworks. And
so you're going to be lighting off fireworks even though they're illegal in that park?
They are illegal in the park because people have been, in the past, lighting off fireworks, burning their hands, burning other people. Things have exploded and so forth. That's their problem, not my problem. That's a parks problem, L.A. County problem. I don't have that problem because it's a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I got to interrupt you.
Well, let me finish, Phil, okay?
But I got to ask you, because we're coming up to a break. Have you gotten any official approval from the county or from the city to light off these fireworks?
Let me just say again, because I don't think you heard me. I'm a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are duly uniformed. And
are you duly authorized?
I think anyone is authorized if they understand something, Phil, because I don't think you're getting this.
Well, no, Jay, forgive me.
Well, just please, let me finish this, okay? Because
go ahead, but there's nothing you're telling me here. Are you authorized? Is it legal for you to be handling fireworks?
I am a member of, as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, okay, and I have been using fireworks up until fireworks were made illegal in the county. I have been using fireworks ever since I was what? How old was I? Jim Jeffcoat's here, one of our sub-commanders. Ever since I was like 9 or 10. All right, so I have experience. And
well, you've been using fireworks since you were 9 or 10, so that you have that experience, but it's illegal, and you still haven't told me what is your, what kind of sanctioning do you have?
The sanction we have, Phil, is that we are members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are safe. In other words, we are about saving lives. If I'm about saving lives, if my organization is about saving lives, if my Citizens Auxiliary Police about saving lives, no way in hell. I mean, are you crazy or something? No way in hell am I going to light off no fireworks and have it blow up or burn, you know, the face off of someone or that kind of thing. It's just not going to happen.
And so you're going to be sit there on a picnic blanket, you and the other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, enjoying a 4th of July picnic and lighting off your fireworks?
Because we are a safety-oriented organization.
And all the other people around you won't be able to do that. And of course, this is in proximity of other families.
That's right, though, but because we have safety, because we are safety first, and because we are safety conscious, the other families around us do not have to worry. And I certainly don't think there's any need for them to call the police and have some confrontation between us and police when what we're doing is going to be safe.
All right, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, his organization will be lighting off fireworks because they're safety conscious. The rest of you out there, no matter where you live, you don't get to because it may be illegal in your municipality or your county. The only problem with Mr. Santos is his organization is not an official police agency or fire agency. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back on philhendryshow.com with Jay Santos.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we talk about the 4th of July and fireworks displays across the country, which are illegal. You're having your 4th annual Citizens Auxiliary Police family picnic. This is something that only your family members are invited to.
That's correct, Phil. We've had this since 2000. This is our 4th annual, actually 5th 2008, and it's been a great, great time. It's been a time of bonding, a time of rebuilding old relationships and new relationships as people come together, Phil, in our organization to celebrate really average citizens policing the area as auxiliary to regular police work. And we've had a very good we've had a good run. We've done our flare drops. We have done what we call our mall monitoring. We've done mall patrol. We have done our door-to-door. And our door-to-door has been very very effective in making sure people's doors are locked. And
But you've also had your problems. In your door-to-doors, you have been walking into homes, and people have called the police.
Well, okay, that's wrong.
That's right. I happen to know that in a couple of instances you would walk right into houses, right?
Well, what we're doing, Phil, is we're testing, do these elderly people, you got old people that have their door wide open, guess what happens next morning? You're going to find...
No, I heard a lot of the things you said in the newspaper, and I thought they were a little grotesque.
In what way?
Well, when you said, just as you did now, you said if you've got old people, I think is how you characterize them, with their doors unlocked in the morning, you find, I think you said something like, you know.
Yeah, you find a head buried in the backyard. I said a lot of things. And
yeah, what is the point of that?
Phil, if you look at the way serial murderers have conducted themselves.
What is the point, though, of scaring elderly people when you say you're going to find a head buried in the backyard?
I'm simply trying to get these old people, or elderly people, if you want, to lock their door. And
you've got them frightened to death, and then you go walk into their house. All right, so let's move up to the present discussion.
But I think you've mischaracterized our door.
Hold on for a minute, man, because I don't want to get off on that. Let's talk about the fact that you are lighting off fireworks, even though it's illegal. Where do you get your right to do that?
Where do I get my right to do it? The fact that the fireworks are illegal, Phil, because people have been blowing up. They've been blowing off their hands. They've been blowing up people. They've been misusing fireworks. I don't misuse fireworks, and citizens of Ontario Police don't.
Okay, you don't misuse fireworks. Neither do I. Do I get to light off fireworks?
Unfortunately, no, you don't.
Why don't I?
You say that you, and I'm sure you're right, Phil. I'm sure you don't misuse them, but you're not a member of any police type agency or any kind of group that wears a uniform or anything like that.
So if I went out and I started my own...
Phil, it's not that easy. You and I have talked about this before.
No, we haven't really, because if I go out and I start my own Phil Hendry police force...
That's ridiculous.
Well, why is that any more ridiculous than the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
I think it is, and I think you know, Phil, you're playing with a little bit of fire here. You know that we... Citizens Auxiliary Police, we have sub-commanders, it just don't make me laugh.
Don't make me laugh. If you guys are out there as the Citizens Auxiliary Police with blue armbands, and that means that you get to light off fireworks even though it's illegal, why can't I form the Phil Hendry Police? And
There's no police forces that are named after a guy. It'd be like me going out and saying, or my son going out, Brad Police.
The what? The Brad Police? Is that your son's name?
Yeah. It's Brad Sanders. Hey, Brad. Mr. Henry's on the radio right now. He says, why don't you go have the Brad Police?
I'd like to have that.
I'm sure you would, but you don't get to. You don't get to.
Why not?
You don't get to. That's all.
Let's talk to me, Jay.
I'm sorry. I'm on the air with Mr. Henry. So, Phil, again, I'm not trying to tell you what you can't do. I'm just telling you why it makes sense and why we do it.
All right, let me ask you a question. If I lay down...
No, you're setting all these traps for me.
No, this is a very good question I'm about to ask you. If I go to the park where the Citizens Auxiliary Police are...
And you put down a blanket and you light up...
Can I ask the question, please?
Well, I know what you're going to say.
It doesn't matter. Can I ask the question?
But I know what you're going to ask.
It doesn't matter. May I ask it for the benefit of my audience?
But I could ask it, and the audience would be able to hear it. If you go, you lay down a blanket, and you go have fireworks, and...
Nobody can understand what you... Let me just say it, okay?
Well, I know what you're...
I know you know, but my audience doesn't know, and I want to ask the question for my audience.
Okay, go ahead.
If I go to the park...
And you lay down a blanket... Is that what you're going to say?
Would you, Jay, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be rude. Would you shut up so I can ask the question?
Mr. Henry, I came on your program to describe the people's safety precautions. And
no, I know why you're on my show. Will you allow me on my show to ask the question that I want to ask in order to further the point that I'd like to make?
So you get to make your point.
Will you shut up?
Daddy, why don't you?
Brad, go ahead, Phil.
If I go to the park that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is at, and you guys are there, and I lay my picnic blanket down, and I've got my family with me...
But you don't have... Your kids moved out.
Will you let me ask my question?
Ask your daddy.
Brad, I'll handle it. Shut up.
Dude, you just told your son to shut up.
And you told me shut up.
I did what? What did you say?
Didn't you tell me shut up?
Didn't I tell you to show? I don't know what that...
You told me shut up.
In any event, would you let me ask the question? Please. If I go to the park and I lay down my blanket and I bring my family with me and I bring my fireworks with me and I light off my fireworks right next to the Citizens Auxiliary Police official picnic, What are you going to do?
I would, at that point, we would come over and we would probably, you know, ask you to produce ID. And
you're going to ask me to produce ID, even though that's what you guys are doing.
What, we're producing ID? What?
No, are you lighting? You're lighting your fireworks off.
Yes, sir. That's correct. But that is because, again, Phil, I don't want to keep going over the same ground with you, but we're an official. We're not official, but we are officially, and anyone would tell you that we're official if you see what we do and our uniform and everything. We're official, and we are officially a safety group. And
because your uniform looks official.
No, because we are a safety group, and we light off fireworks. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on, you know. And
you know, I didn't understand that. You could go what?
I said I could go on and on and on. But I'm not going to...
You could go... All right.
I could, can I finish what I want to say now?
Anyway, I'm going to let you.
Brad, shut your mouth. Mr. Renner, you got me in a foul mood.
Well, I've been listening to you telling your son to shut up, so I asked you to shut up, and I tried to make my point. Now, answer me directly. Why am I going to be cited by your group while you're lighting off fireworks? Because I'm not an official group.
Because you are not official...
What if I show up in uniform with a bunch of guys that have a uniform like mine and it says the Phil Hendry Police? Is it because it's called the Phil Hendry Police?
I think any police officer who's going to see you and going to see me, and they look at you and they look at me, they will laugh if they see you. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. There's, you know...
There's no way.
Yeah, there's no...
Hey, Daddy, White House...
Okay, hold on, Phil. Brad... I want you to get away from me, okay? Because when you drool, so...
Hold on. We're going to be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Regardless of the law, they're going to be lighting off their fireworks because they're a safety group. They're official. And the rest of us aren't. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us online here, and we're on the air, I should say. We are online, by the way, at philhendryshow.com with live-streaming video of our show, videocast every night. Jay, so what we have here really is you... exercising a kind of preemptive authority that you just simply will not grant to other citizens.
It's not that I'm trying to ride roughshod or lord it over people. It's that as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, we know what we're doing with fireworks. We can light the different fireworks that you're familiar with, that I'm familiar with, our families are, whether they are the Roman candles, whether they are the fountains, Piccolo Pete's, and these kinds of things. So I'm not trying to lord it over people. I'm just saying if a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to light a fountain or a Roman candle, and it's close to an infant, and let's say it's your child, I can tell you without any fear of being proved wrong, you have nothing to fear because they're going to light that. And
yeah, they're going to light a Roman candle near an infant.
Only if it's Citizens Auxiliary Police is what I'm saying.
877-876-7445. Let's go to Jerry. Hey, Jerry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. This is the same gentleman that I'd heard on your program not too long ago describing, I think, in detail how he was doing these, and I think you mentioned it, these door-to-door inspections of locked houses. Are you the same gentleman?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, so in other words, you don't deny that you're walking in on elderly people and scaring them half to death.
No, sir, I'm not. I mean, I think we admitted that.
Well, we talked about that, and the police were, Jerry, the police were called out. This was in San Diego.
Yes, sir, that's right. It was in the Mission Beach area. And you had these people scared half to death, walking in on people taking baths, people half-dressed.
Well, if you're trying to make a case, sir, that I'm somehow getting my kicks that way, and
I don't know, you may well be, but your organization was out of control in that situation, and I would not trust them at all at patrolling the streets of my community.
Well, I think you need to give us a little bit better chance than that. That was a dispute we had with San Diego Police.
And in that instance, sir, my allegiance is with the police, not with your organization, and I thank you. Good night.
Well, I think that's a man, Mr. Henry, is exactly who we're trying to convince otherwise. That's a man who is just full of fear. He's filled with fear. And
you put it there.
Excuse me?
You put it there, talking about heads in backyards. Now you're lighting up fireworks next to infants. Don't worry about it. We know what we're doing. Yes, sir. You put it there. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, let me ask this gentleman a question. Are you...
Yes, sir.
Let's just put a little bit of perspective to this. You say you hold yourself to high respect to the law. Is that correct?
I hold myself to the what, sir? I didn't hear you.
You hold yourself to high standard of the law. Is that correct?
We hold ourselves to our standards. Yes, sir.
To your standards, but not the standards of the law. Just let me tell you something.
Well, I mean,
I have worked.
Our standards are really high.
I have worked for a law enforcement agency for over 10 years. And I'm going to tell you something. We hold our officers to a higher standard than we do the general public, which means if that firework is illegal to launch in the state of wherever you're at, which I think you're in the state of confusion, you would damn well better not launch that firework because we would hold you to a higher standard than we would the general citizenship. When our officers get arrested, they go down hard. I don't appreciate you representing yourself using the police word. You're an idiot and you're dangerous.
Well, I mean, I don't think you understand what I do as a citizen's
observer police
manager. I understand
perfectly what you're saying you do. You scare me. And let me tell you something. If you were in my state, I would have already have done whatever I could to get you investigated.
Well, I think this gentleman doesn't believe in law enforcement. And
this man was a police officer.
Well, I can tell you that, first of all, I understand what the gentleman's saying, but when I light a firework off, it's not like anyone else is lighting it off. You understand what I mean, sir? I know that the average citizen will light off a firework, and there's a good chance they will burn someone alive.
It doesn't matter. If it's against the law, you don't light the firework, period. If it's against the law, you just don't do it. You don't have any right afforded to you just because, you know, even law enforcement officers are held to the letter of the law. You do not do it.
So what if a police officer comes over, a police officer now, Jay, not Citizens Auxiliary Police, and...
Well, you're saying that like, you know, we're... So, once again, you disrespect me.
Well, I'm not disrespecting you, but let's just take a cop who can arrest you and take you into custody and tells you to stop and you're going to be cited.
Then obviously we're going to stop and he will cite us.
Okay. So, then why would you do it?
I'm just saying, if the police officer told us to stop, yeah. But a regular citizen's not going to do that. Where do they get the right? You see what I mean?
And you just got done telling me that
right
you have...
You would, that you're claiming that you have. They have the exact same right.
That's the difference. We are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are, you know, I mean, you guys are right.
From what I can understand, especially from the way you're yelling at your son, you're a made-up organization of some wannabe people who have no training or any clue on what you're actually doing.
Sir, what do you mean by the way I yelled at my son? What did I do with my son that made me unprofessional? I'm just simply saying that if the police came over and told us, you got to put it up for the night, thank you, gentlemen, you had a lot of fun, I'm sure you had your giggles, now I'm going to give you a ticket, okay. But if Phil Henry come over...
I tell you what, let me tell you what dangerous thing you're doing by doing your door-to-door things. In my state, we are a castle doctrine state. You come opening my mother's door, who leaves it unlocked quite frequently, and let me tell you something, you may not be walking out of her house.
Well, sure. So, in other words, you would not want me to do that. You want a serial murderer to do it. That makes sense.
No, but what the man's saying...
Whoever, they walk in her house, we're a castle doctrine state. You can get blown away by doing that stuff.
What is that? What is that term you just used, Alan?
Castle doctrine. That means that if you come in our property and we feel that you are threatening us, we can shoot you.
Does that mean inside the house only or anywhere on the property?
Depends on the state. In my particular state, if you're on our property and we feel like we have enough threat, we have the right to shoot whoever is on our property threatening us. But if you come inside the whole thing changes.
That's that whole I won't back down law and everything. You know, that got that guy George Zimmerman shot. And
George Zimmerman didn't get shot. He's the guy that did the shooting.
Well, I don't know, but, you know, that's what...
No, that's different, okay? The Zimmerman don't back down thing, that's Florida. That's got nothing to do with property. You can be anywhere you want. Listen, I appreciate very much, Alan, your call.
Well, I mean, I'm not done saying what I wanted to say.
You can say it. This gentleman's... we've taken up enough of his time. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876. And that man made a lot of points, okay?
Well, yeah, but I wanted to... Are you saying he's not on the radio?
No, he's done.
All right, well, I got a lot of area to cover here because of what he said. And you might as well get comfortable because it's going to take a little while. And
no, I've got limited time, Jay. You can cover what the gentleman said, but I've got a limited time.
All right, well, he just said a mouthful there, and I want to cover a lot of it. Now, in terms of the fireworks, if I am lighting them off and over comes a member of what we call, you know, the earthbound police, just a term we use, earthbound police or earth patrol, that's them.
What is earth patrol? What is that?
Those are what you recognize and what most people recognize as police.
In other words, real police.
I do not recognize that term. We are citizens auxiliary police. They are earth police. They're earthbound. And
why the term earthbound?
It's just a term that actually my wife, Cecilia, came up with it because we wanted to have a term for the police that we would say we knew what people was talking about. Because if we're on a radio, we say, okay, citizens auxiliary police patrol 4 or police patrol, you know, it gets confusing. You know what I mean? And
yeah, okay, fine. So, anyway, the Earth Police...
You can laugh if you want, Phil, but people have died protecting what...
What guys in your organization have died?
I didn't say we had anybody die, but cops have died.
Yeah, cops have died. You better believe cops have died. You're going to invoke their names and you're going to invoke the mortality of and the sacrifice of police officers to validate your experience?
Oh, look, Phil, you want to use a bunch of big words. And
what big words did I use? I'm just...
Oh, you know.
What big words did I use?
What was the word you used?
What big word did I use?
You used a word I don't understand about.
Which one?
Validate or something.
Validate?
You don't know what that means.
Phil, right now my son Brad is this close to being forced to sleep outdoors tonight. Because he has been listening to you and has been asking me questions off the air about... What did you ask me, Brad?
I want to know whether or not what you do.
Yeah, see, he isn't sure now that what I do is real. He thinks I'm some kind of a made-up or make-believe father.
I don't know.
And that's because he's been listening to you, Mr. Henry. So you can use your 50-cent words, all validate or bat-a-date or however you want to say it, but I'm the guy that's left here. I'm the one that's got to clean it up. Okay? I'm the one that sits here in the room where the stink just occurred.
I just better talk about it.
I understand, Brad. So,
all right, you know, let's take a break so that you can get your act together and I'll get my act together and we'll be right back. I don't know what the hell his son's talking about. I don't know what he means about I made the mess and he's got, you know. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. 877-876-Phil. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What do you want, Brad? The pudding pops are in the icebox.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And on the line with us here from the South Bay is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about your organization on the 4th of July holding its fourth annual picnic. And you're going to have family, and you're going to have kids there, right?
Of course, yeah. If you're worried about that safety?
I'm saying, Jay, that if it's illegal to light off fireworks, it's illegal, and you also have children there. So that makes it doubly unsafe.
I told you, Mr. Hendry, and I hope that this sinks in, when Jay Santos, Dave Culpepper, Dave Sunderson, Jack Wabat, any of the members of Citizens Auxiliary Police light off, if we set off a Roman candle or fountain or anything, and it could be feet away from an infant child that's yours, that your wife just, you know, gave or had, you got nothing to worry about. You know,
well, you'll pardon me if I don't take your word for it. You know?
Well, I mean, you give respect to police, but you think I want to burn up a baby? That's a disrespect that comes with the territory. And
I give respect to the police, yes. You, no. And I'm sorry, when it comes to the safety of my children, it just ain't going to happen. Let's go to Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Dave. You're on with Jay Santos.
Thanks, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Jay, I just want to say something to you. If those are big words for you and you're the guy lighting off fireworks next door to my child, I'll tell you what. First of all, I'd probably bring charges against you for endangering my child if that's possible. And I'd call the police on you because you obviously have no idea what you're doing. You're a danger to your community. You've yelling at your children. Everything you've done so far just shows that you're the irresponsible one out there running around with power you shouldn't have.
I'm sorry you feel that way because, first of all, I'm not yelling. My son Brad knows that if he is disrespectful, that we've been told by a special ed teacher to let him sleep in the yard. A lot of people think that is cruel. You treat a child, or either you're a child and you're a good child and you can sleep in a bed or you won't be like a dog, all right, guess what? You get to go sleep out on the grass.
Wait. I want to ask a question here.
But more to the point of this gentleman.
No, wait. Hold on for a minute. Your son sleeping outside.
Yes, sir. If he wants to talk and act like a dumb dog.
And a special ed teacher told you that.
Bill Mayberry, yeah. All right, see, you want to give respect to who you won't give respect to. You won't give me no respect.
You're lighting off a Roman candle next to an infant, this man's child, my child, and I'm supposed to trust you because you're in the Citizens Auxiliary Police and you have a blue armband.
Well, why do you trust the regular Earth Police? Because they come in an Earth car? That's what I'm talking about. Why do you... This gentleman on the phone, is his name Dave?
Yeah.
Dave. Why do you trust regular Earth Police?
You know, I would say that I trust anybody that earns that respect and trust. And people who show these signs of obviously being incompetent in almost every manner here. And if you're having other people telling you to put your child out on the lawn, obviously you're not the only organization in your community that is having issues figuring out what's going on here.
No kidding.
You find it funny, huh, Mr. Henry?
I think that's funny. Yeah, I think that this man put his finger on the problem.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police would never endanger a child. We feel we get to have a 4th of July picnic like everybody else, don't we?
No, yeah, like everybody else, which means you don't get to fire off fireworks.
Except for that. That's where we're a level above.
I have a question for you. I mean, in our Constitution,
yes, sir,
the original design of our country, wasn't that to protect the rights of the citizens and actually kind of restrict the governmental rights? And now in reverse, what you're telling me is only if I wear an armband or I'm a member of some government organization do I still retain these rights. And as a citizen, no longer are those rights applicable to me.
Well, you're getting into a whole lot of... You know, that's what I call kind of talk radio gobbledygook. You know?
No, the guy's talking about the Constitution.
Well, that's what
I'm
radio
trying to be real here. That's what I hear from you is that I have to join some government organization to retain my rights now as a citizen, whereas you were supposed to be the ones that were being restrained and not us. And now you're the guy going to light off some candle, Roman candle, right next to an infant because you're more intelligent than us somehow. And I'd like to see credentials or training where you've gone through
there's a good point.
Or something like that.
I mean,
to say that you're
you
the one safer than I am.
Right. But you don't ask the police for their credential. You know their credential when you see the badge. That's what you say to any earthman. And
what do you mean, earthman? Let's talk about the police. They're the police. You are the guy that is the aberrant variable here, okay?
Well, all right, Phil, but what I'm saying is you don't ask the police for credential. Why you ask me for credential?
Because I recognize the star of a police officer, or the badge, or whatever you want to call it, as a duly authorized individual, okay? That's why they have marked cars. That's why they wear their uniform. That's why they have radios. There's all kinds of things that we know them that reflect their validity. You don't have any of that.
I just got done telling you. We have a blue armband. We wear, you know, we have a helmet. And
good, you have a helmet. That's great.
See, all you're doing is humiliating me in front of this man, this caller.
No, and I'm sorry, sir. I'll correct that and just let you know you've humiliated yourself in front of the world here and any of the audience listening. And your words have just buried yourself. You know, there's nothing that you've said that's been a shining light from you, not one word. Everything's been pretty much on a negative scale here, and
right.
I don't know how to respond any further to what you said other than I think you need to go get some real training and stop saying that you're like a police officer, because obviously you're not nearly as educated or as trained.
Well, I can tell you this, sir. If I light off a Roman candle next to an infant, and
I don't want to see that happen, okay? And I don't think that's responsible of you to say.
You don't want me to say it, because you know I could do that, and I wouldn't burn that kid up. You would. And
why would you want to? All right, anyway, I'm going to let you go, Dave. I appreciate your call, sir.
Maybe you let that guy go. I got some things I want to say.
The gentleman is, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-7445. Let me get one more caller up on the line here. We got Lloyd on the line from Alhambra. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting all night to get on the air with this guy because the minute I heard him on your program, the very second I heard him on your program, wait a minute, I know who this guy is. Is this that guy, Roy? My name is oh, God.
Yeah, we got a break, Lloyd.
I just want to, if you ever come to my neighborhood with your Roman candle and you think you're going to light it next to an infant, friend, we'll be serving tri-tip later on, and it's going to be you. It'll be tri-tip with a pith helmet on top of it. How does that make you feel?
I think you're sick and disgusting. You sound like a Campbell.
A Campbell? What is that, a guy that eats Campbell's soup with human flesh? I don't know what that is.
Thank you.
You go right ahead and laugh, Hendry.
Mr. Hendry, you've embarrassed me. You've embarrassed... shoot. I'm embarrassed.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, coming up in this hour, a return, a very fond return of a character that we haven't had on our program for a long time, Frodo the Puppet, coming up in our next segment. And it's been a while, Bud, hasn't it?
Yeah, last time you had Frodo on, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the last time you had Frodo on, you had to have a studio.
You're right. We were in our other studio, which was in Westlake Village, which is about, 10 miles to the southwest of us here. Westlake Village is closer to the L.A. metro area. We're out on the beach now, where our studio is, here at the El Pacifico. But, yeah, that's the last time we had Frodo the Puppet on. So it'll be fun to have Frodo on. He's going to be asking me about the Anderson Cooper story. And
but I don't know. That's pretty adult matter.
It is adult matter, but Frodo, you know, that's the whole reason why we have Frodo the Puppet on, because he represents innocence, and how do we deal with innocence and at the same time sort of bring innocence into the world, you know?
Well, I just hope that you have a renewed, I guess I'm trying to use the right word, a renewed relationship with him, because the last time you pounded it.
Yeah, you did pound it pretty good.
What do you mean, pounded it?
By the puppet.
Oh, well, no, yeah.
Yeah, you beat hell out of it, and you beat him up and everything.
Yeah, I did, and I will warn the audience, I got into a state, I don't know what happened, but the puppet asked a question that was rude, and I know it's essentially, I understand he's a puppet. All I can tell you is I must have had some kind of a nervous condition, but I beat up the puppet. I destroyed it. And in the process, I beat up my own, you know.
Yeah, you pounded, you broke your hand.
I broke three bones in my hand because a puppet is on your hand.
Why'd you do that? Everybody want to know.
Because it was a stupid thing to do. What can I tell you? The puppet said something I didn't like. I beat hell out of the puppet, and actually what I was doing was destroying my own hand.
I mean, that's like something out of, what that show you talk about?
Yeah, the Outer Zone. Or ain't that what it is?
What do you mean, the Outer Zone? You talk about Outer Limits?
No.
Yeah, the one about Rod Serling.
Rod Serling, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's like right out of the Twilight Limit or Zone. When a guy pounded out his puppet?
Yeah.
Don't get smart with me, man, because I know what you're doing.
Then he slipped that one in, didn't he?
I'm going to beat somebody when he pounded out his puppet.
He did, right on TV.
I'm going to kick your ass. Anyway, don't ever get angry at a hand puppet and forget that it's on your hand, because you'll wind up...
Give it up, man. I don't think anybody's going to have that problem.
Yeah, you might as well give that one up.
Oh, is that right? Well, guess what, man? I'm warning people that you should never, ever... What do you got now? You got David on the line?
Yeah, what do you think?
David.
Look at Phil. I don't... You know, I'm sorry, but I heard you say just then the magic words, and I had to get on the line. You know?
What magic word? I'm just telling people that what the experience... Where are you at, anyway?
I'm at a dealer show here, okay? This is radio equipment. I'm in Las Vegas right now. This thing's going all night. Some of the most high-tech equipment in the world. I'm here to buy some equipment for your studio. But if you're on the air telling people don't beat up a puppet, do you understand that one doesn't follow the other? And
what does that mean, one doesn't follow the other?
If you've lost your mind, why do I want to buy radio equipment for you?
Yeah, Mr. Hall, everything I was saying.
No, you weren't. You weren't. You guys were laughing about...
Well, Bud was trying to warn you, right?
No, he was not. He was laughing. They were using the phrase, beat up your puppet.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, so what?
They were laughing about it, double entendre.
Well, I don't know, but all I'm saying is, if you're on the air and you're telling people, hey, folks, remember, don't beat up a hand puppet because it's on your hand, there's no point in me buying equipment. What I need to do is make sure that you're fully insured. You do have health insurance, right?
Yes, I have health. What does that mean? You're going to have to put me away?
72-hour observation. See, most of the...
Don't put... Bud, how many times do I got to tell you?
Mr. Hall said you said it's okay.
To talk about stuff that's pertinent, not have him come on here and tell me that he's got to put me in a nut house.
Well, what do you think, man?
Hey, just take it easy. All right, in any event, welcome to the News and Information Hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Some pretty bizarre stuff to report on. We have Hollywood. We also have some science. Were we going to get Dr. Ron Tarner on to talk about the God particle, or is that just too bizarre for words? I don't know. Right now in Mexico, all official signs point to the fact that they've chosen a new president. And this new president... is Enrique Peña Nieto. He's the president-elect, 6 points ahead. But the second-place candidate, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is saying there's fraud, baby. F-R, however you spell fraud. I'm kidding. F-R-A-U-D. And
sure, that's how you spell it?
Yes. And Mr. Nieto, for his part, has thanked voters for giving his PRA party another chance and has vowed no return to the past. But Mr. López Obrador has not ruled out challenging the result. They call him a, quote, leftist candidate. And former mayor of Mexico City has passed form on this front, launching months of street protests in 2006 after losing the last election to Felipe Calderón. Mr. Nieto, 45 years of age, declared himself the winner of Sunday's presidential election after a preliminary count. He promised to govern with and for all, saying he would honor the PRI's second chance with a new style of governing. The PRI is an old line political party in Mexico that had a virtual grip on power like an oligarchy almost for 71 years. It just won every election year in, year out, you know, month in, month out, day in, day out. And Mexico was, you know, not all that much better off for it. It's a country that has been slow in developing. It's a country that exploited its natural resource of oil when they had the big oil strike, but they haven't really been able to exploit that to the extent that it's been a massive economic turnaround for the country. The people there are still, for the most part, widely separated in terms of their economic status. You've got some really poor people in Mexico and really rich people in Mexico, and not a whole hell of a lot of a middle class. You've also got now these drug cartels that are running things, so the whole thing stinks, you know. And this PRI, you could talk all you want about how the political action party, which was Vicente Fox and this guy Calderon, how the drug cartels took hold while they were in power. But the fact of the matter is they've always been there, and they've been doing business and been doing business very comfortably for a long time, and they were doing it most comfortably under this PRI.
Dad, I mean, well, you don't like them?
No, I don't like them. I understand how voters are going to say, well, it's been, 12 years now since the political action party took power, and there ain't a whole hell of a lot that's gotten better. There's been economic stagnation, but that's global. That's got nothing whatsoever to do with the politics of Mexico. And so they decided what every voter decides. This was what voters do. They get tired of going, oh, let's go back to the other guys. Well, okay. These are the guys that had the cozy deal with the drug dealers, just so you know.
Yeah, watch out, man. If you ever go down to Mexico and they find out who you are and they stop you for, like, running a red light, they go, hey, this Phil Hendry, I'm going to put him in jail unless you come up with a big, you know, bribe. And
it ain't going to matter whether I'm Phil Hendry, and I still got to come up with a big bribe. What are you, crazy?
What are you saying, man? You better watch out.
It doesn't matter. What are you, crazy or something? They don't know who I am. I go down there and I get stopped by a cop, I'm going to have to pay the bribe regardless, like I always have. I mean,
Oh, so you have paid off bribe.
I never never did. One time, it was just a very small, it was...
But you do. Yeah, but you paid off a Tijuana cop.
Yeah, I did. As a matter of... Anyway, folks.
Yeah, tell everybody the story, man.
It's not much of a story. I got stopped for some making a bad turn. The cop pulled me over. And I said, how much is the fine? And he said, $20. And I said, here. And that was it. How do you call that a bribe?
Are you kidding me, man? You're supposed to go to court and everything. Yeah, that's a bribe.
Why? I asked him, how much is the fine? He said, $20. I said, here. How's that a bribe?
You ain't supposed to do that.
I don't know. How do I know? I'm in a foreign country.
Yeah, you knew you was paying that cop off.
Hey, wait a second. What did I say to the cop?
You said... But you knew what you was doing.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I said to the cop, oh, well, officer, I'm sorry. I'm on my way back to the States, you know, California. And, I ran the red light, yeah? And he goes,
Yeah, what'd he say, man? That's the most important thing.
He goes, yeah, it was a violation of penal code, blah, 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 blah. And he starts writing out his ticket. And I go, well, how much is the fine?
Yeah, he's writing out a ticket, and that means you're going to go down to the jail.
Yeah, you better believe he's probably going to arrest me.
For running a red light?
I didn't run a red light. I forget what it was. I think I turned right on a red or some bullcrap. He wasn't going to arrest me. He wasn't going to arrest me because I had the money all ready to go. I said, how much is the fine? He said, $20. I said, there you go. He goes, thank you, sir. Have a nice day. And you guys call that a bribe. How dare you?
Man, that's a bribe.
Just in case you tuned in late, we're talking about a Mexico cop, which I got no disrespect for the Mexico cops. You know, as Jake Gittes said, we all got to swim in the same water.
Man, that's so corrupt. You promoted corruption.
God, man, I'm going to get you into the doctor and have an EEG run on you.
Why?
I didn't promote corruption, dude. I was trying to get my ass out of Mexico and back to the States, and I don't care how... That's the way they do business, man. You think that Phil Henry's going to change it? Forget it. All right.
You're going to do that again, man. And now they're going to know, they're going to put you in jail.
Oh, you guys, what do you guys think they got down there, man? Super federales? They're like listening to my show, waiting for me to go down there on vacation so they can throw my ass in jail. All right, we'll be right back. Frodo the Puppet coming up here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now, the Phil Henry Show presents Frodo the Puppet. Yes, a segment of our program where Phil tries to answer the tough questions of life for little Frodo the Puppet. And Frodo, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while.
Hi, Mr. Henry. I'm really, really happy to be on the program. I didn't know you'd ever bring me back. I'm really, really happy.
I'm happy you're here, Frodo, and we're going to try to answer your questions. Where you been?
Well, Mr. Henry, I've been in the place where little puppets stay and children do, and it's just in a make-believe place where puppets go and children go to get the puppet, you know?
It's just a kind of a, one of those places that grown-ups don't know about, huh?
No, grown-ups don't know of the places that I go to and the little kids and everything.
What is your question? I know you wanted to ask something, and one of the reasons why we have you on the program, Frodo, is to ask questions that are, I guess, adult in nature.
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Henry, because I'm confused by a lot of things that are going on. And one thing is Mr. Cooper, and he said he's gay and everything, and I understand that.
Okay.
But didn't you say that gay people are not, they're not dangerous to children or anything, right?
That is absolutely correct, Frodo. Gay people are no more dangerous as a whole than straight people are. They are people, and you should not see them as dangerous to children. Perhaps that was the thinking a long time ago, you know.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry, and I'm glad to know that. That means you're not gay then, right?
Well, what does that mean, that means?
Well, you touched my butt.
All right, turn the music off. You going to pull this stuff again?
I didn't do anything.
What do you mean? And why are you looking at Bud? Here we go again with the two of you guys.
What?
I see the two of you looking at each other.
Well, he didn't put me up to it.
Oh, he didn't, huh? So what's that mean? I ain't gay and I touched your butt.
Just kidding around.
Yeah, what's the problem?
You know what? What did I tell you about freelancing?
Oh, come on, man. This is a real dry bit. What?
Hey. Bud, I can see you looking at him, and the two of you guys got together just before this bit, and you said, let's do something, you know.
I swear.
You swear. You swear.
I swear to God.
Well, Mr. Henry, just asked a question. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. I didn't touch your butt, so quit with that. You're a puppet. You understand?
I know. I'm a puppet. I have that much self-awareness.
Good. And now Phil Henry and Frodo the Puppet.
Mr. Henry, I know what you said about gay people, and they're just like every other peoples, right?
That's exactly right, Frodo. Just like we... What are you doing with the music, bud?
It ran out.
Well, Mr. Henry...
Hold on. He's got to start the stinking music again. And now Phil Henry and Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, Mr. Henry, I know what you say about gay people are just like other people, right?
Yes, that's right, Frodo, just like other people.
And it is true, you're not gay. I don't think I'm talking out of school.
No, I'm not gay.
Then why'd you touch the inside of my thigh?
Turn it off.
I didn't say the inside of the thigh.
Oh, really? What did you tell him?
He told me you touched me in the crack of my...
I'm going to kill you.
No, Mr. Henry, no!
Phil, you're just beating up your hand again. Shut up!
I'm going to kill it this time for good. Now stick it in the... Put it in that drawer.
Mr. Henry! Mr. Henry!
Shut up!
Hey, Phil.
What?
Why don't you take a look at your hand, man?
What about it?
It's in the drawer.
Oh, God. Ow, 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 ow.
What an idiot!
You just showed... You put your hand in the drawer, man.
Ow. Ugh. Look at that puppet. It's ruined.
Who cares about the puppet? I don't like the stuff it says.
Yeah, but you're the guy that's saying it.
I didn't say it. The puppet...
Want me to get some ice?
Yeah, get a bag of ice. I just beat the hell out of my own hand.
Man, Mr. Hall gets a hold of this, man.
Don't tell Hall. Well, it doesn't matter now. I guess he was listening.
Yep. Line two.
Oh, come on. Turn that music off before I flip my lid, will you? Yeah, what do you want?
Oh, well, get a load of you. What do you mean, what do I want?
Yeah, what do you want?
I think you know. You just beat the hell out of your hand and then tried to put it in a drawer. And you don't think you need 72-hour observation.
No, I do not. Thank you and good night.
Phil,
don't you guys look at me with that look, okay? I'm fine.
I thought, though, hey, man, I ain't saying nothing.
I ain't saying anything other than get your hand out of the drawer.
And you didn't even have to say that. I would have figured it out sooner or later.
Yeah, like when?
Sooner or later, I would have figured it out. All right, so that was Frodo the... Well, that's the last time we're going to have him on the show.
Yeah, because you kicked the hell out of it.
Well, we got to get a new puppet, more than anything else. All right, so here is another interesting piece of news that we can just segue into. 72-hour observation.
Dan, I would.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between you and him and me. Let me tell you something, bud. What did I tell you about talking to that puppet?
Yeah, but you're the guy doing the voice.
Then if I'm the guy doing the voice, why are you talking to it and telling it to say stuff like you touched my butt?
Man, you ain't making no sense, man.
Who asked you?
I didn't say anything.
Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion in a fraud settlement. Now get a load of this, folks. In fact, this story's so big, we'll continue it on the other side. Don't look at me like that. In the largest settlement involving a pharmaceutical company, the British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline agreed to plead guilty to criminal charges and pay $3 billion in fines. $3 billion, folks. In fines for promoting its best-selling antidepressants for unapproved uses and failing to report safety data about a top diabetes drug, according to federal prosecutors. It has been called by federal prosecutors the largest case of fraud in U.S. healthcare history. Now, a lot of these are what are called misdemeanor charges, but the amount of money is so significant, $3 billion, and you have to, and the other thing that you want to, of course, the other thing you want to keep in mind, folks, $3 billion. How much money do pharmaceutical companies have? Oh, yeah, sure. What do you need? We're going to fine you $3 billion. Okay, we'll set aside $700 million. That's for the lawsuits. Right. Then we have another billion, billion and a half for the fines. Right. Then we have another billion. We got lawyers' fees. Then we have, I mean, these cats, they're writing a check for $3 billion, and they're still in business. And they have settled accounts, and they're going to be right back rocking and rolling again, unless I ain't reading the story right. In May, Abbott Laboratories settled for $1.6 billion over its marketing of the antipsychotic drug Depakote, or whatever, how the hell you pronounce that.
Maybe you ought to be on that.
I'm going to kick some ass. Just wait till I get the others. I'll tell you who needs the antipsychotic medication. That puppet does. We'll be right back. The world-famous... Phil Hendry Show.
The puppet got health care?
I don't know if the puppet has health care. What do you mean, is the puppet got health care?
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, a reminder that if you want to get a backstage pass to our website, that's a great way to enjoy our show. We have a live-streaming video cast of every single show, so you not only can listen to our show, you can watch our show. And you do that by going to philhendryshow.com. You hit on that VIP backstage access link. It tells you all you need to know. And it's a pretty cost-effective, fuel-efficient, however you want to say it,
Pretty fuel efficient.
It ain't expensive, man, and you have access not only to our live video cast. Every day we have a podcast of our broadcast. We have thousands of hours of archived show. I mean, daily, every day, going back over 15 years. Well, yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood. I mean, what, 13 years now, Robert?
Yeah, well, like when you first started on KFI, some of them shows.
All of our syndicated radio shows going back to 1999, so we're talking 13 years. And so much more, including on-demand video, on-demand interviews that we've done, on-demand video casts. So if you miss the show live, you can always see our video cast on demand the next day in our five-day video archive. Plus, we have a full year video cast and audio of the Saturday night show we did locally here in Los Angeles. So check it out, philhenryshow.com. All right, getting back to this story, you guys can say all you want to say, Bud, about how you think I'm nuts, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, Bill, you need an antipsychotic.
Yeah, okay, fine. You know, I mean, you got me on that.
I mean, you did beat on your puppet.
Yeah.
If you guys are saying beat on your puppet as your funny ha-ha double entendre of the night, get it out of your system. Otherwise, I'm going to kick your asses out of the studio. Do you understand?
Well, you pounded on your dummy.
If you say it again, Bud, I'm going to belt you.
Well, all right.
Yeah, did I hit you last week?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again. You made your point, okay? You made your point.
Dummy.
Ow! Oh, shut up. Get out of here.
That hurt.
Tough.
Man, you really clocked him.
What did I tell him, man? And the same goes for you, too.
I didn't say anything.
You know, that guy, smart ass on you, Bud. You just can't leave well enough alone, huh?
All I said was dummy.
You said dummy in a couple of other words. Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion and quit with that phony baloney crying, too.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it sounded good.
Glaxo agrees to pay $3 billion in fraud settlement. So here's the bottom line on this, folks. Glaxo, which is a pharmaceutical company, the fine was over Paxil, Wellbutrin, Avandia, and other drugs that makes this a record year for money recovered by the federal government under its whistleblower law. In May, Abbott Laboratories, settled a $1.6 billion suit and series of fines over its marketing of the antipsychotic drug DEPAKOTE, Depakote, or whatever. And an agreement with Johnson & Johnson, what?
It sounds retarded.
Didn't I tell you to get out of here? Oh.
You ain't saying that good.
Maybe I ain't saying it good, but, you know. Anyway, an agreement with Johnson & Johnson that could result in a fine of as much as $2 billion is said to be imminent over its off-label promotion of another antipsychotic drug, Risperdal. See, what's going on here, folks, is this. Let me explain. There is a, like in so many other areas of life, I don't know whether we're having an economic downturn, there's no question, but there's also big things afoot in all kinds of businesses. I told you that there's a media revolution. You don't have to go over it. You guys know that, but I don't think you know the extent. I understand that everybody is aware of the fact they're using their computers, they're using their internet, and there's all kinds of there's a vast array of platforms they can access. But if you think a little bit about it, you will recognize that there's lots of companies behind all of these efforts, a lot of big old companies, a lot of small new companies, a lot of entrepreneurial efforts like my own and others. And so all of us are sort of, you know, finding our niches and doing battle for these different areas of communication, broadcast, entertainment, podcasting, and so forth. This is a huge shift in the way we used to access electronic entertainment, whether it's television or radio, cable or otherwise. So that's exciting. It leaves a lot of people out in the cold. It also opens the door for a lot of other people. So when we talk about economic downturns, we're talking about business shifting from, you know, one area to another. Now let's talk about the pharmaceutical companies. Well, what does that mean? It means drugs. And what are these drugs? When you hear the word antipsychotic, you probably think, crazy people. Well, the fact of the matter is this. What have I been telling you guys for the last 4 years? There's a revolution going on in pharmacology right now. There are amazing drugs that are being developed that are helping people for the very first time in the history of man on this planet. We are treating what we used to call manic depression, bipolar. We are treating schizophrenia. We are treating all kinds of psychosis. We are treating people's addictions. And we're doing this scientifically using pharmacology that is drugs. Psychiatrists are learning more. We now have a way of testing the brain to find out what kind of drug the brain may need. It's not a blood test. It's the use of EEGs, an EEG database. Psychiatrists can look at EEGs now and say, aha, this part of the brain is slow, this part is fast, this is the drug. This is a huge, huge moment in the history of science. It's happening right now. And so what's the downside? Well, the downside is you got some of these scum-sucking dogs in the drug business. Well, let's just make all these claims. They're making all of these claims they shouldn't be making. They're not reporting FDA information accurately. They're playing it fast and loose and sloppy, just like the banks did, okay? Thinking they're going to get away with murder, thinking that, money's growing on trees out there, let's make hay while the sun shines. And so they get out and try to grab all they can. And guess what? They just got caught with their hand in the till. And this company, look at these companies that are getting fined. Johnson & Johnson. I mean, come on. When you grew up, I grew up with that name. We pretty much believed Johnson & Johnson. That's a sacrosanct name. I mean, you buy all their products. I mean, what the hell?
Baby oil, that's for sure.
Yeah, buy baby oil until you like, well, I better not say.
Yeah, never mind. Shampoo, all that stuff. Abbott Laboratories, I know that name. Now, this GlaxoSmithKline, I don't know. This is some sort of a merged company. But the point being, there's always somebody trying to squeeze a couple of more bucks, where they ought to just leave well enough alone. There's always somebody trying to cut corners. Remember we were talking about psychopaths in business, which, by the way, is a mental condition that you cannot treat. In fact, it's not really a mental condition. It's just a type of abnormal personality. Psychopaths in the drug business, I can understand. Well, those guys, they won't leave well enough alone. You get some guy who's just a born thief, and he can't leave well enough alone, so he's going to get... insert himself into these companies as a salesman, one of the guys in the marketing department. He's going to feed people a bunch of crap. He's going to tell somebody this is a great way to go because I can make us a couple of extra bucks and we don't have to do this and that and something else. We don't have to report to the FDA this stuff, or we don't have to report to the doctors what the FDA told us. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Doctors are out there doing this and that all the time. Well, guess what, pal? You got caught. Just cost your company $3 billion. No individuals have been charged in any of the cases because they've hidden themselves. Anyway, even so, the Justice Department contends the prosecutions are well worth the effort, reaping more than $15 in recoveries for every $1 it's spent by one estimate. But critics argue that even large fines are not enough to deter drug companies from unlawful behavior. Only when prosecutors single out individual executives, I agree, for punishment, will practices begin to change. That's the truth. You start putting somebody's scumbags in jail, watch what happens, man. That's the thing, They haven't put enough of those Wall Street guys in jail to suit me. Not even close, man.
Yeah, but they put a lot of guys in jail.
They ain't put nobody in jail, man.
What about that Bernie Madoff guy?
Big deal, that's one guy.
What about those guys at WorldCom?
They put some cats in jail, yeah. WorldCom, this, that. Every time they put a guy in jail off of Wall Street, it's big news, and you'd swear to God, man, they've just cleaned the whole block up. Oh, my goodness gracious, look all the... We put three whole guys in jail. For the stuff that's been going on that street, man, like 40% of those guys probably ought to be behind bars. I mean, half the stuff... The crap that's been going on, not to mention the whole banking industry. I mean, I'm telling you, how'd they get away with it?
Yeah, but what about that guy from the Country Time?
Yeah, the Country Time Lemonade?
Country Time Lemonade? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean Country Time Lemonade?
You never heard about Country Time Lemonade?
No.
They put a guy in jail because he was lending people money.
Country Time Lemonade? Are you talking about Countrywide?
Yeah, Countrywide.
Will you get out of here with Country Time Lemonade? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. One makes lemonade. The other mortgages for houses. Totally different.
Well, but I mean it like the same name.
No, it ain't even the same name. You guys are idiots. So anyway, yeah, well, that guy from Countrywide, he goes to jail. How many cats are walking, man? I know personally, I know people. I know people that were in that business. I know people that made loans that they knew sucked. I know people that made loans that they knew were lousy loans, but if they didn't make the loan, the guy across the street would. And I know they're walking around free as a bird today. All right, so there you go, folks. So this is what's happening. There's a shakeout happening. The way money is being made, the way money is being lent, the way drugs are being made, the way every facet of American business just about is sort of changing. It's changing the way it does business, the kind of people it hires, and at the same time, it's bringing in the same kinds of scumbags. You know, no matter where the business is, the pilot fish. The psychopathic scumbags will be following along, looking to see how they can drain a few dollars without actually doing the work, you know? They're always looking to find a way to make dollars without actually doing the work. So that's the downside of this really amazing time that we're living in. We'll be right back here with our final segment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, Wednesday on philhenryshow.com, we roll out our very first Best of Ted Bell collection of downloads at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If you are watching Phil TV in HD, I've just curled my mustache into a handlebar mustache. Again, I'm kidding.
No, but you have.
I did, but it's not like a big sell point here, okay? But I did. I just, this beard that I've got a bit of a, it's not even a goatee. It's just a beard that just covers my lip and my chin. This is coming off. If you watch our video cast tomorrow, you're going to see a clean-shaven Phil Hendry. And the reason why I'm warning you is because it always scares people, you know?
Yeah, because it looks so scary. Scared me the last time you done it.
Well, I'm so sorry, bud. Am I that ugly?
No, it's just that it's weird. That does look weird, man. The one minute you got a beard and then you shave it off, you look all... It's all wrecked.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's all wrecked? What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean... You get everybody used to seeing you with a beard, then you take it off. It's like looking at you nude for the first time or something like that. It's jacked up.
Oh, get out of here. Grow up. So tomorrow, man, that's what's going to happen. All right. Some late news. Former Penn State head football coach Joe Paterno may have played a greater role than previously known in a decision made by university officials not to report a 2001 incident involving former coach Jerry Sandusky and a boy in a locker room shower. By the way, not to interrupt, and I apologize, because we will get back to the story. It's about what did Joe Paterno really know. But did you hear where Sandusky was getting, harassed by the other jail population?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yelling. They were singing that song.
Yeah, what were they singing?
They were singing... Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone, over and over and over again. So they were like, oh, man. I don't know where they're going to put that guy. There's no way that they will put him with the sort of general population, if you will, given the reality of the sentiment in jail, in prison, toward child molesters and the like. They are... not thought of fondly, and I'm putting it mildly. So he's going to have to be put in some kind of segregated unit. CNN does not have the emails, but the alleged contents were made available to CNN. We're talking about what Joe Paterno knew and when. A jury last month convicted Sandusky, as you know, the Nittany Lions' former defensive coordinator, on multiple charges of sexually abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period. At Sandusky's trial, former Penn State grad Mike McQuarrie Former grad assistant Mike McQuarrie testified he believed he saw sexual contact between Sandusky and a boy in the shower and told Paterno in February of 2001. Paterno, a revered Penn State icon who died in January, testified before a grand jury that when he learned about the situation, he contacted his then-boss athletic director Tim Curley as required and left it up to the university to investigate. In court documents, prosecutors say they have emails from university officials that allegedly contradict grand jury testimony of Curley and Penn State Vice President Gary Schultz, who oversaw campus police. The alleged emails, the contents of which were first reported by CNN, were among the other documents including a Sandusky file discovered by Penn State and turned over to state prosecutors as part of its ongoing investigations. One of the newly revealed alleged emails appears to show Paterno had another previously undisclosed conversation with Curley about the shower incident. On February the 26th, Penn State's vice president told Curley, the athletic director, to contact Sandusky, alert child welfare authorities, and inform Second Mile, the charity Sandusky founded for disadvantaged children, a purported email says. This is on the 26th of February. Remember that CNN says they haven't seen it, but they've been made aware of its contents. So,
what's that mean?
Well, it means exactly that. They haven't seen it, but they've been made aware of its contents. So that's, in other words, them saying, well, we have it on good authority, or sources tell us, something like that. After Curley spoke with Paterno, however, the athletic director allegedly told the school president that he had changed his mind about the best course to pursue. After giving it more thought and talking it over with Joe yesterday, says Curley in this email, I'm uncomfortable with what we agreed were the next steps. Now, remember, they said they were going to contact police, child welfare, Second Mile. They were going to do all the right things. But after talking it over with Joe, says Curley, allegedly in this email, he is now no longer comfortable with what they agreed would be the next steps. Instead of alerting authorities, Curley allegedly wrote he would prefer meeting with Sandusky, telling him they knew about another incident in 1998, offering him professional help. He suggests notifying the Second Mile at some point if Sandusky is cooperative, and maybe child welfare officials. If Sandusky did not cooperate, Curley suggested notifying both Second Mile and child welfare. So this guy Curley obviously had his finger on a trigger on all of this, but it's alleged by CNN that in these emails was a reference to a meeting he had with Paterno, who Curley said after talking it over with Joe.
That means that Paterno's guilty and everything.
Not necessarily, and here's why. If he says, oh, I talked it over with Joe, he didn't say what Joe said. He didn't say anything. He just, I talked it over with Joe, and now I've had second thoughts.
Yeah, but don't that mean that Joe told him to?
Not necessarily, man. What it means is I talked it over with Joe, and after talking over with Joe, I've decided I'm going to do this. Maybe Paterno said something like, I don't think you have any choice, but you got to go to child welfare, and somehow that convinced him in the opposite direction.
Get out of here. You're just trying to cover up for Paterno.
Are you doing that on purpose?
What?
Paterno.
Well, who's the guy that... Yeah.
No, that's the basketball coach, you moron. Now, how much the purported conversations between Paterno and Curley influenced the decision not to contact outside agencies, something Penn State was required to do under state law, is unclear. See? So even they are asking the question that I'm asking. An internal Penn State investigation headed by former FBI Director Louis Freeh also has turned up billing records from Penn State officials to the university's outside counsel around the time of the 2001 incident, showing Penn State was researching its legal obligations for reporting the assault, according to a source. Well, this is all about the Joe Paterno legacy, and I don't think there's any rescuing it from this. This ain't no good, man. But who knows? History is not written until some 20, 30 years after the event, and then not very well. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. We have Neil West in tonight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show invites you to visit us online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can get live streaming video of this show, as well as access to our archives. All you got to do is get a backstage pass. And don't forget, we have our episode 13 of our podcast, and on Wednesday, it's the best. of Ted Bell. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.